Okay, praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Five amens.
Amen.
Okay. I think that was 15 amens. Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. We hope that your lunch was very good. Amen. Did you all enjoy your meal today? Well, we want to thank you for the meal that you gave us. It was very good. But you know, sometimes when you eat a lunch meal, you can tend to be sleepy. Right?
Right?
Huh? Well, I think if you get a little sleepy as I'm sharing, just stand up and say, praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Well, it is a blessing to be here with you all. I can't tell you how blessed we are to see young people that want Jesus in their lives. So many of the young people in the world are being taken by the devil. I don't know when you first accepted Christ. Some of you might have been very little when you accepted Christ. Or some of you came to accept Christ later on in your life. But nevertheless, you accepted Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Now, when you receive Christ as your Savior, what did you receive when you received Christ? Huh? Salvation?
Freedom.
Huh?
Freedom?
Faith? Okay.
Forgiveness.
So when you and I accepted Christ or received Jesus in our lives, what happened to us? Change. You became born again.
Huh?
And when John the Baptist came, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand," right? And when you understand, repent or repentance means change. So when you are born again, you become changed, right? But there's something that Jesus gave to you when you became born again. What came to you when you were born again? Huh? New life, freedom. I'm still waiting for the real only answer. Huh? I'm sorry, I
salvation.
Holy Spirit. No. When you become born again, Jesus comes to you with His blood. So you must know that when you accept Christ in your life, Jesus comes and does something for you. Now as you look into the book of Ephesians, it's in chapter 2. Let me turn there as well. I see all of you, as soon as I say the scripture verse, they're turning to their Bibles. That's good, isn't it, Martin?
Okay.
Praise the Lord. I have my little electronic Bible here, and it's very helpful for me. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." So before we were born again, we were dead. We were dead in our sins and trespasses. Amen?
Amen.
Alright. So if we were dead in our sins and trespasses before we were born again, God had to do something for you and I. He had to come and make us alive. And so when we became born again, Jesus brought the blood to us. And the Bible teaches us we became a living soul. Our soul was quickened by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why when you go to Corinthians, I believe it's 1 Corinthians, is it chapter 6, that talks about we have been bought with a price. Someone finds it there, Brother Mark or Brother Martin or Roman. Is it in 1 Corinthians chapter 6?
Verse 20.
Okay. Could you read? I would like someone to read it in the King James and one in your Filipino Bible.
King James.
1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God.
Amen.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 6:20. Gipalit na kamo niya, busa gamita ang inyong lawas alang sa himayat sa Dios.
So the Bible tells us that we have been bought with a price. So when Jesus died on the cross, he took the sins upon himself, the sins of the world, and he became sin who was no sin. He had to be a sacrifice that was spotless. That's why none of us can pay the price for our sins or for another sin. So he purchased us, or he purchased his church with his blood. The Old Testament teaches us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. So if someone comes and says, "What happened when you were saved or born again?" Salvation is an attribute. Freedom is an attribute. But the change was by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you that you need to study about the blood of Jesus Christ. You need to say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. You see, the blood not only... Think of the power of the blood, everybody, right now. The Bible tells us, and you He has quickened. Made alive. Like a man waking up from sleep. And now the reality of the presence of God is now coming near to you. And even within you. Because now the blood has touched our soul and made us alive. Amen? So, I encourage you, and I'm not going to talk on the blood today, but I encourage you to also study about the blood of Jesus Christ. Because the blood not only pays the price for us and cancels out sin in our lives, the blood has the power to heal. Can anybody give me a scripture verse for that? That the blood has the power to heal. Can anybody think right now among you students? I believe it's in the book of Isaiah 53. Okay, praise the Lord. You get there, whoever gets there first, you should read it. Isaiah 53. Someone finds it. Tell us the scripture verse for it. Does someone have the verse? I don't know if it's 53. Oh, yes, it is. It's verse 5. With his stripes we are healed. Go ahead, sister, you could read it.
53 by Isaiah 53:5. Gani gisamanan siya tungod sa atong mga sala, napamos siya tungod sa atong pagkadautan. Iantos niya ang kastigo nga maoy nakaluwas kay nato, ug pinaagi sa iyang mga labod na maayo kita.
So by his stripes that was afflicted upon his back, the shedding of that blood is for our healing. And healing in several dimensions. We can be healed physically. And does any one of us ever need in our lives spiritual healing?
Huh?
Amen?
Amen.
You know, our soul is made up of four parts. Our soul. Well, first of all, before we say our soul, we are a three-part being. Spirit, soul, and body. Now, our soul is made of four parts. The mind,
the
will,
atong mind,
desires, and emotion. We have a song that we sing. Very simple song, but very profound. Do you know God wants to teach all of us that songs are really prayers? And the song that comes to me is Heal My Mind, Lord. Heal My Mind. Mark, you want to see me? Is that what you're doing? Praise the Lord. How many of you need your mind to be healed? Amen. We have to get out of our mind thoughts that come that are not godly, right? So God can heal your mind. Amen? Heal my mind, Lord. The song goes. Heal my mind. May each thought be only of the purest kind. Heal my mind, Lord. Heal my mind. What's the last part? May. Go ahead. What is it? Yeah, may it only be on the purest kind. Heal my mind, heal my mind. There's another verse. I think we'll look at, I got the songbook. We'll look it up later. But see, some of the songs we need to sing are things that God comes to us in praise and worship. And do you know that there are dimensions of praise?
Amen.
There are frequencies or dimensions of praise that we could come to a certain level, and yet there's higher levels to attain in our worship with God. And when I talk about coming into those dimensions of praise and worship, it's where God comes, right in the midst. Okay, right in the midst of us. Now, listen closely. I mean, you can read it in the scripture. And you probably heard this scripture verse many times. Where two or three are gathered together in His name, He is there in the midst of you.
Amen.
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 Now, we know it in our minds, but it's another thing to come in the dimension where you experience the living God walking up and down in the midst of our gatherings, moving, speaking, and ministering life to each and every one. Whose heart is opened up to God. There is something that God does when a heart opens up to Him. I can give you a little indication of how God moves that way. And I can give you an indication how God does not move. If you are opening your heart up to God, you start to feel very, very small. Because if you're really opening up to God, the Spirit of God is so righteous and holy the Spirit of God should be convicting you of any darkness or sin in your life. I'll give you the opposite. The Spirit of God is not when praise and worship is going on that you think that you are very good and very righteous in God. Or really great in God. And how do we know that? It's by His Word. You show me any time where any man written in the Scripture could stand and boast how great he was before God. The Apostle John in Revelation when Christ appeared before him, he fell on his face like a dead man. And there was another part in Revelation, and he fell on his face as a dead man when an angel appeared before him. And the angel said, "Don't bow before me, I am just one of your fellow servants." Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So we're a three-part being. And the soul is that part that what God wants to change in you and in me. Brother Mark was ministering this morning, and he was sharing about the true Bible school. And that true school is the school of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's many Bible schools throughout the world. And they churn out a lot of graduates. But what type of graduates do they produce? Many come to Bible schools for motivation reasons. They want a position. They want an occupation. They may want a music ministry. A pastorship. To someday become a head of a church. But none of that is really based in the Word of God. Brother Mark shared this morning out of Matthew 20 that he who wants to be great, the greatest of all, needs to be your servant and your slave. So maybe this Bible school should be the school of the slave. Isn't that a wonderful occupation? I don't see a lot of people knocking down the door wanting the occupation of a slave. But what did Paul call himself, the Apostle Paul? He called himself a prisoner of the Lord. Jesus said, I came not to be ministered to or to be served, but to serve. Praise the Lord. Can we say amen? Now there are some very wonderful things that you are learning here in this Bible school. You're studying about the Word of God, right? Amen. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But do you know what else we need to do besides studying the Word of God? Is learning about the school of Christ.
Amen.
The school of Christ. That word Christ means anointing. Christ also is of the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches us, you all have been taught about water baptism, right? Well, we know according to Scripture that it is man who baptizes you in water.
Huh?
John the Baptist baptized in water. But John the Baptist said something else. He said that there will come another beside myself whose shoe latches that I'm not even worthy to tie. And he, speaking of Jesus, will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. So I can come, and if you have a desire to be water baptized, and if I'm considered a fit man who is a born again believer who loves God, I can baptize you in water. But I cannot baptize you in the Holy Spirit. I can lay hands on you and pray for the Holy Spirit. But it is only Jesus Himself who will baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So, on that basis, it is very interesting because when we become born again, the Word of God comes to us. Jesus is the Word. It says in Romans chapter 10, We can go there.
Well,
I like diligence, Brother Mark. You see how they go right to their Bible as soon as you say a scripture verse? That is good. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 10. This is one of my most favorite chapters. I love sharing the Lord to people. In fact, one of the other favorite scripture verses I have is in the book of Acts. The story of Peter, who was it? Peter and John, was it? That met the lame man. Alright, you know the story? And you ever hear the song to that? Have you ever heard the song to that? Over here, have any of you ever learned the song? And praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to rise up and walk. So Peter and John went to pray. He met a lame man on the way. He asked for alms and he held out his palm. And here is what Peter did say. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give thee. And in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I command you to rise up and walk. He went walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to rise up and walk. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You see, once life comes to us, we can be life givers to others. Amen. Amen. So let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 10. It says in verse 8, and our young brother here, would you read read 8 through 10, if you would, please.
8 to 10.
8 to 10. Oh, we'll give as many as an opportunity to like to read the word. Good. Praise the Lord.
Verse 8.
But what sense is the word is thy day, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which you preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart
amen.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Shall we read it in our Philippine Bible?
Ang giingon mao, duol kaninyo ang mensahe sa Dios anaa sa inyong nabil o sa inyong kasing-kasing. Sa ato pa, ang mensahe sa pagtuos na among iwali, maluwas ka kung ipahayag mo na si Jesus mo ang Ginoo. O sa kasing-kasing, mutuo ka ng ibanaw siya sa Dios. Hindi mo kita matarong sa Dios, kaya tuo man kita sa kasing-kasing ngayon o naluwas kita kay ipahayag man nato ini.
So we see that it is the word of God that comes to us when we become born again. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But we have something else. Let's see. Boy, I shouldn't have wrote so big. Alright. Please forgive me, I'm not an artist, but... What is that a picture of? The tabernacle. Now, in the tabernacle, there are seven pieces of furniture. Seven pieces of furniture. What is seven a number of? Do you know, some of you young, new Bible students, do you know that numbers have a symbolic meaning in your Bible? The numbers have a meaning. There are seven pieces of furniture in the tabernacle of Moses. The brazen altar is the first one. Brazen laver is the second one. The lampstand is the third piece of furniture. The table of showbread is the fourth piece of furniture. The golden altar of incense is the fifth piece of furniture. And actually, this symbol here is the last two pieces of the furniture. It was the Ark of the Covenant, which had a cover called the Mercy Seat. When you look at this picture of the tabernacle, this is God's plan to bring you into perfection. This first piece of furniture is representative or symbolic of what? Salvation. The second piece of furniture, called the brazen laver, is symbolic of, what's that? Water baptism. What did I write? Baptisms. Plural, right? Plural. Because really, you have, this is one piece of furniture, but it represents three. Water baptism. How many of you have been water baptized? Raise your hands if you've been water baptized. Raise your hands, okay. I see most of you have been water baptized. Now, I'm not talking sprinkling. Has anybody just been sprinkled on the head?
Here?
No? Huh? None of you here are Roman Catholics that are raising their hands and saying, I've been water baptized, right?
Huh?
You know, I could say that from experience, you know. I was raised Roman Catholic. Oh yes, I was raised Roman Catholic. And it wasn't until I was 27 years old. Who here is 27 years old or older? Raise your hands. All right, you men towards the back. Alan, you're not 20. How old are you, Alan? You're 27. Come on. Lito, you're older than 27, aren't you? He probably doesn't understand. Now, Brother Nelson, I know you're older than 27, right? Plus 20. Yeah, he's 27 plus 20. So, but none of you here are older than 27, right? You know, first of all, I praise God. I'm seeing young adults that want God. I had to walk 27 years of my life not knowing Jesus. The only thing I knew about God, what was taught to me by the Catholic Church. And you know, they did teach me that there was a God. And they did teach me that there was a devil. And they did teach me that God had a son named Jesus Christ. But they also taught me many other things that were scriptural. And they did not teach salvation by faith. They didn't teach salvation by faith. In fact, I was water baptized as a baby. You were doing that, right?
Yeah.
They did. Well, one of you were doing that little water sprinkling. They put it in, and well, they actually had a little baptismal, and they took a little cup and they pour it over your forehead. Okay. And do you know that the Catholic Church, when you die, they believe that you go to be with God via purgatory. And they say over the casket at your death, they say over the casket, every funeral I've ever been in a Catholic mass, in the Catholic Church, they say, you were baptized into Christ. That's how, why they don't believe in salvation. That's why they're, what they believe is their traditions that they have taught for thousands of years. But see, I was a product of that, and it didn't bring me anywhere near God. I had a head knowledge of God, but I had no heart intervention to change me. So thank God, I don't know why I had to wait till I was 27. Maybe because I wasn't ready, because I had to go down into the gutter deep enough to realize how much I needed Jesus at that time. But nevertheless, the goodness of God came to me, and God sent an evangelist to my house to share with me the good news of Jesus Christ. But it just wasn't God sending a man or just a man's voice. It was God's instruction to send a man. Hallelujah. And I can tell you, you young people, the day that Christ came and revealed himself to me, I was as changed as night was today. I want to tell you something. You don't realize, or maybe you do, I don't know. There is so much power in the blood of Jesus Christ. That will irrevocably forever change an individual who's hungering and thirsting for God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
Now, you know the story, the parable of the sower and the seed. Brother Mark, you were sharing that this morning. The word did not fall upon stony ground for the devil to come and take it. But it had to be good ground for what happened in my life. Come on, let me tell you something. I was not only a Roman Catholic. My families were Roman Catholic. And my family's generations were Roman Catholic. Roman Catholic. Roman Catholic. Roman Catholic. I look back on my father's side of my family. There was no sign of any born again people on my father's side. And I'll tell you another thing. My father's side were not that religious. But my mother's side was different. They were a very devout Roman Catholic family. Yet, I believe and I know without a doubt that God wanted to deliver not only me but my household. For when I became born again, there was great reverberations that happened. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? The devil had a total hold on my family history. And God brought the word and brought the word to my wife and myself, and we got saved. And you know, when we look at this first piece of furniture here, salvation, we start to enter into life into the tabernacle. Outside of the tabernacle is death. Or the world. It's called the type of Egypt. Amen.
Amen.
So this second piece of furniture, the brazen laver, we are talking of baptisms. And we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to think before you raise your hand this time. You should only raise your hand if you know without a doubt that you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you don't understand what I'm saying, you don't have to raise your hand. You shouldn't raise your hand. Okay, who here has been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Raise your hand. Okay, raise them up high, whoever has. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, there's a number here that have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but there has been a number of you that have. Amen. We are talking about this brazen laver as being our baptisms, one in water. The second is Holy Spirit baptism, right? And do you know that there is a third baptism? Baptism into...
Okay.
All right, say it again. Baptism into...
Christ.
Baptism
into Christ.
School of Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians... We might as well turn to it. What is it? Is it 1 Corinthians 11? That talks, it says, by one Spirit are we baptized into one body. If someone gets there, please tell me where that's at. It's 1 Corinthians. Let me tell you a little story. I love stories. Do you love stories? We used to travel to India in the 1990s. Brother Mark was in India in 1996. I don't know if he met the man. His name was Paul Gajetran. And we would hold seminars. And I'm telling you, as soon as you said the scripture verse, he was there reading it. We called him the Bible man. The man was just, it was just as fast as someone could squeeze a trigger on a gun, he was there with the word of God. Amen. There could be some Bible men or Bible women here, I think. Huh? All right, did anybody find that? By one Spirit are we baptized into one body. All right, and here we are. Did anybody find it? 1 Corinthians 12. No, it's 13. But we can read verse 12 and 13. Hallelujah. Who would like to read it? Okay, here we go. Verse 12 and verse 13.
1 Corinthians 12:13.
Yes.
For as body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. 13.
Yes.
For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit.
Amen.
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 1 Corinthians. Si Kristo sama sa usa ka lawas nga may daghang bahin. Bisan kung nakalain-lain ang bahin niini, usa ra gihapon kini kalawas. Ang uban kanato mga Hudyo, ang uban dili, ang uban mga uripon ug ang uban usa dili. Apan kitang tanan gibunyagan diha sa usa ka lawas pinaagi sa mao gihapong espiritu o kitang tanan nagigambit pag-inom sa usa ka espiritu.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So for by one Spirit, that Spirit is the Holy Spirit. So in our baptisms,
sa atong mga bautismo,
we are water baptized in order to make a covenant with God to go all the way with Him.
And
He also makes a covenant to go all the way with us. But in Holy Spirit baptism, the Holy Spirit as we desire God, you see, you can't get the Holy Spirit without wanting the Holy Spirit. And you can't get the Holy Spirit unless you're born again. There's some scripture verses in the Gospels that speaks that what good father, if a son would ask for a piece of bread, would he give him a stone? Matthew's, what is it? Is it Matthew 6? Around 34, you said? No, it's not there.
634.
No, it's 7. 7, and it says in verse 9.
Versículo 7, verse 9.
You know, there's another scripture verse. I don't see it where it says the Holy Spirit there in Matthew. Is there another place in the Gospels?
Another place.
Why don't we look at that? Because this one says, how much more will in heaven good things... I want to look where it says, where how much more will he give of the Holy Spirit?
Chapter 11, verse 13.
Okay, all right. But go up and read from 11 to 13, if you would, please.
Luke chapter 11, verse 11 to 13. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If he then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?
Amen. So if you desire the Holy Spirit, and you want God with all your heart, He will give you the Holy Spirit. And in order for us to be complete, we need the Holy Spirit. Do you know why we need the Holy Spirit? Because we can't be holy without the Holy Spirit. Isn't that simple? You could be self-righteous, trying to do right works all day long, but it will never make you holy. Only the Holy Spirit can make you holy. And it's by submitting unto Him. So when we are baptized into the Holy Spirit, His Spirit comes into our spirit. So everyone here who is baptized in the Holy Spirit, this is where the Spirit of God is dwelling in you. But that's just the start. Because His Spirit wants to invade and take over our soul. He wants us to yield to the Holy Spirit. And that is why the scripture verse we read in 1 Corinthians, what was it, 12? by one Spirit, are we baptized into one body. This is representative of the body of Christ. This is the operation of the body of Christ, is the holy place. Again, Christ is what? The anointing. The Holy Spirit, right? So, as we yield to the Holy Spirit, we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, but as we obey the Holy Spirit, the Spirit continues to bring us into another level of God. Where we experience Christ. And I believe, everyone here, I believe, this is the purpose God has brought you here. To learn in the school of Christ. There's a scripture verse in the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And how much time do we have left?
Yes. We have an hour plus.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I don't know if I'll be that long, but I'll tell you what. Okay, we're in Romans 8. What's the verse? For those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are... Romans 8, what? 8:14. You know, let's go up to verse 12. It's good for all of us to read the scripture verses before that. 12 to 14. Would you like to read first? Praise the Lord.
Sunod niya na, mga isuon, obligado kita sa pagkinabuhi di sumala sa tawhanong kinaiya. Kaya kung magkinabuhi ka mo na mayroon sa tawhanong kinaiya, mamatay kayo kamo. Apan, mabuhi kayo kamo kung pinaagi sa Espiritu, pat yung ninyo ang tawhanong binuhatan. Ang tanan, gimanduan sa Espiritu sa Diyos,
Amen.
All right, it says here, okay, will you read please in the King James? Whoever has it available.
Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Amen.
Amen.
So if we through the Spirit do mortify, you know what mortify means? We put to death. We kill it. Huh? This sin nature in us. You can call it Adamic nature. We have to kill it. But he says, if you through the Spirit, right? If you through the Spirit do kill or mortify the flesh, you shall live.
Amen.
Come on. You shall live.
Ikaw, ngayon, mabuhay.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It comes to me as I'm sharing it. About the valley of dry bones in Ezekiel.
Huh?
God said to the prophet, shall these bones live? Huh? And the prophet said, thou knowest, O Lord. And he said, prophesy to the dry bones. Our dry bones are very dry.
Huh?
We need the Spirit of God to breathe upon us. To bring life to us.
Yes, Lord.
I'm sharing something with you, brethren. You're young, but I'm telling you. I'm telling you, Sister Medlin knows. These men over here, these individuals, the more you walk with God, the more you experience the Spirit of God working in such a way,
amen.
Books can't be written about it. I'm wanting to take you up higher here right now as I'm speaking to you. All things are possible to those who believe. And as we yield to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God moves in such a way no power in hell can hold you bound. God wants to set you and I free of the power of hell that has a hold upon us. The hold upon our mind. And believe you me, you young people, the battle you face in your mind, we've also have faced at one time in our lives. And we're all dead men or all goners unless we obey God. Hallelujah. So I want to share with you. We read in Romans 8, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, some of you know because you've studied the Greek. In our English Bible, they have sons both in Romans 8 and in John chapter 1. And there's a progression in God. And in John chapter 1 it says, and to as many as believed on his name, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. In John chapter 1, the Greek word for sons in John chapter 1 means technon, which is children of God. That's what salvation means. Out here, we were children of the devil, outside of the tabernacle. But once we became born again, he gave us the power to become children of God. But now, in Romans 8, there's a different level. For as we read, said in Romans 8, it says those that are led by the Spirit of God. Now watch this. We receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, out in the outer court. But as we obey the Holy Spirit, it is by one Spirit are we baptized into this place, into the body of Christ. So you take your Bible in Romans 8 and look up sons of God. That's sons in Romans 8. That is Greek word is called huios. And that does not mean children, it means mature sons. Amen? God expects us to grow in Him. We are to come into sonship to be like Him. But in order to do so, we must be willing to forsake all and follow Him. Because as we obey the Holy Ghost, we are being changed. Every time we walk in obedience, we become more like Him. Every time we disobey, we step backwards. Or let me put it this way. We obey the Holy Spirit one step forward. Disobey God two steps backward. God help us. God help us, because we are all being tested. I have seen many people fall. Whether through compromise in their life, whether getting a little discouraged, and if they did not immediately go back to God, going backwards brings you back to the way you came. Now Jesus said something, everyone. He said, no man who puts his hands to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. I pray that none of us make that wrong decision. I'm sure there are a lot of people that have walked with the Lord for a time can acknowledge mistakes they made in their lives, and it was very costly in their walk with God. Oh yes, God will forgive our sins, but we still lose something. Don't give up what God's already given you. And And what He continues to want to give to you. Praise the Lord. I think I need to stop here, but there is so much more, and I think that you need to search it out. Write a little note in your Bible. Write some scripture verses down here for you. Look up John. There's a number of scripture verses in John that speaks of the Spirit. I want John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. John chapter 6, verse 63. John 7:39. But read the scripture verses around these scripture verses.
John 7:39.
Talked about, he that believeth on me, as the scripture says, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But if you look your scripture, it also says he was speaking of the Holy Spirit. John 15:26 and John 16:13. And last scripture verse, Zechariah 4. Zechariah, what is that? I think it's Zechariah 2. I don't know, I just wrote the verses. 4 to 6. It says, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. If someone finds it, you can share it with anybody else.
Not by my Spirit, saith the Lord.
Well, thank you today. Thank you for listening to me. And I pray God will bless you and lead you by His Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.